Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans, Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for April 26th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. We absolutely follow the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. We reject revolution and embrace restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. The checks and balances the founding fathers put in place, absolutely brilliant. You know, people have asked us the question over and over, Sam, the system's broken, it doesn't work. You know what? The checks and balances aren't happening, Sam. What do we do? It's horrible. We're going down. And my response is, to Tocqueville said it best, you know what? America's great because America's good. And it meant we have the greatest amount of freedoms and the best government man can create under the heavens. But it's all based on the goodness of the American people. In other words, their morality. Their willingness to pay attention to God's laws and acknowledge the hand of their creator in their freedoms and safety. And the second we ignore those things, we cease to be good. We will cease to be great. He predicted that as well. Very clear. And so when people say to me, Sam, we can't fix it, my response is, not if we don't repent and change our ways. You're right. But I submit to you that the greater numbers of the American people, if we keep the commandments of God, and if we are willing to demand our liberties peacefully and use the checks and balances given to us by our founders, there's no country on the face of the earth with the blueprint like America has for restoration. The big question is not can we, of course we can. The big question is will we? That's yet to be seen. We labor in the vineyard, in prayer, and in hope. And action together make faith. We have faith that we can make a difference, that Americans are ingenious, that we have solved so many problems before in the history of our republic. Many, many, many times did they think America was going to fail, and we came out successful. And I believe we can, and we'll do it again. The level of our obedience to God's commandments will determine how hard of a time we have in the process, though. Are you going to participate in the answers, the solutions? Are you going to be positive and look forward to the future with hope and optimism? Or are you going to spiral down the rabbit hole of destruction and a negative viewpoint that doesn't help anybody anytime, anywhere? Where do you stand? What will you do? We offer up logical, appropriate solutions to the troubles we face. Do we admit we have troubles? Yes. Do we admit it will get worse? Yes. Do we believe there are answers and solutions? Without a doubt. And that's what Liberty Roundtable Live focuses on. Welcome to the broadcast. Yesterday's broadcast is available on demand for free on the Roku. Look for the Liberty News Radio channel or LNR channel. Secondarily, LibertyRoundtable.com has the broadcast. Yesterday's show, we had our guest on, Mr. James Edwards. He's the host of the Political Cesspool award-winning radio program, politicalcesspool.org. I'm sorry, it's thepoliticalcesspool.org. And you can check out their award-winning broadcast. Airs live every Saturday evening on libertynewsradio.com. But check out thepoliticalcesspool.org. Great broadcast. We talked a little bit about Kurt and Sam returning from the beautiful state of Hawaii. I gave kind of a breakdown of our experiences. Kurt Crosby's back in the studio. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias, and greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You are very welcome, my friend. Quick question. What did you think of the Hawaii trip, and do you have a quick couple of comments to make? I mentioned that we went to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, to the Mormon temple a couple of times. We went and saw a Chinese temple. I mentioned we went out to eat quite a bit. We saw a couple of sunsets at the beach that were absolutely wonderful. And I mentioned that we did a lot of inexpensive things because we don't have a lot of money. But we did go to Pearl Harbor. We did spend a lot of time together. we did the inexpensive things the best we could. And we wouldn't have even been able to afford to go if some kind people, good friends of ours hadn't provided companion fares for us. I mentioned that we went on standby, and thank heavens we got our flights, and it was just a wonderful experience made possible by kind-hearted individuals for a much-needed vacation. So that was kind of my summary, Kurt.
Well, that was a good summary, and I did hear it yesterday.
Oh, good.
I heard you say that, as I traveled home, I heard you say that I would be in tomorrow, and so that's why I figured you gave me the day off, and so I just, you know, what happened on the way home for me, at least, is that my wife was able to rest. We got the three middle seats, and so she kind of stretched out on two of them, and I was able to kind of watch out for her, make sure she got some good rest on the flight home.
You should believe in women's lib, and you should take both seats and sleep and let her go ahead and stand guard, my friend.
Yeah, well, anyway, and I did watch a couple of movies, so that wasn't, you know, a total waste for me.
You didn't even sleep through them?
No.
Whoa.
I slept in little parts of them, you know.
So you did sleep. All right.
I was trying to do my best to watch out for my wife and stuff, you know, and that kind of thing. But I watched Concussion and some show called The 33 about some miners getting trapped down in Chile. But anyway, at least if you're going to say, if I was going to say the highlights for me, you know, I mean, I really don't think that even if money were no object, that we would have really done a bunch of different things. We just kind of are simple people and like simple things, you know, like sunsets.
No, that's right.
Little food and, you know, place to stay.
Yeah, a little walk on the beach and stuff like that.
Seemed like there was everything we wanted and more. Like for me, a lot of times less is more. It's just like, hey, let's just relax and, you know, enjoy, you know, each other's company.
Yeah, that's right. We had a great time, though, in my opinion. We took a break from work quite a bit. We had the opportunity to spend some time. You know, I mentioned on the radio yesterday, Kurt, that our families have been lifelong friends, when I say lifelong, for the last 20-plus years, almost 25 years. I mean, I knew Kurt's married children when they were teeny. Kurt was around right after our first baby was born. You know, they've watched our children grow up. We've attended each other's events for our children and family events and things like that, celebrations, and even some of the tough times we've kind of worked through together. And so it was a great time just to spend time as couples and go out and joke and have some fun. And we went to the swap meet. That was pretty inexpensive. It cost, I think, $1 per person to get into that expensive event, you know. And we spent a couple of dollars on some souvenirs to thank our married children for watching our children while we were gone and a couple of things like that. But you know what? A great time was had by all, and it was done very inexpensively. We went to the Brigham Young University Cultural Center. It was really phenomenal as well. It's called the Polynesian Cultural Center. It's amazing how many countries are represented there in different cultures. It's all Polynesian, representing the different islands or whatever. And it was just tremendous. That was probably one of the most expensive things we did. But it came with a dinner, and it came with a whole day's series of activities, etc. You know, and to put together something like that, Kurt's a phenomenal feat. You know, in the beginning when they were contemplating this project of the Polynesian Cultural Center, one of the great places to visit in Hawaii, you might add, they basically said, you know, you'll never pull this off. It won't work. Nobody will come and see it. You know, it's too far away from Waikiki. It's on the north side of the island, about an hour, a little over an hour away by car. But, oh boy, how those predictions or suggestions were wrong. It's one of the top visited sites in Hawaii now. I mean, it was just a tremendous experience to see all those cultures. And, you know, a lot of people like to claim we're racist, Kurt, but we sure had a great time amongst the peoples of the earth, didn't we?
Yes, we did. I mean, I would say the Polynesian Cultural Center was a highlight for me. As they say it there, the North Shore was, also my favorite area. I can basically find something pretty good about almost anything. Last night we spent there in what they call Waikiki and Honolulu. It's more of the whole normal tourist thing, what you think of Hawaii for, but the beauties and things that are really Hawaii, in my opinion, are the North Shore and that, you know, kind of outback part of Hawaii. You know, just a tremendous, good place. I enjoyed the spirit of Aloha.
Amen to that. Good people, good food, a general wonderful time was had by all. We even got the chance to eat dinner with the fellow talk show host, Michael Rivero, and his lovely wife, Claire. And we'll mention a little bit on that when we get back. Then we got to just drill into the news. You got it? Liberty Roundtable Live. Hang tight.
We fought. We learned. We struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength, in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T. At LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use continues now. If you want to place an order with the Power Hour or the Power Mall, do me a favor and dial 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. You can get monthly copies of the Power Hour radio broadcast. They got the new hempenol products from North American Urban Spice. Check those out. You got the new book, Jeb and the Bush Crime Family, the inside story of the American dynasty. You also got the new book, Planet Rothschilds, The Forbidden History of the New World Order, by Mike King, with the forewords by fellow talk show host Jeff Rentz. I guess it's volume 1 and 2 available. New from Carlson Labs, chewable vitamin C and chewable vitamin minerals available now. You got new Oregon Trails green pea soup. You got the dandelion coffee alternative. Organic, non-GMO, great tasting. Check that out. You got Joyce's no chicken broth recipe. Phenomenal stuff. All at thepowermall.com or dial 877-817-9829. Tell them Sam and Kurt sent you. 877-817-9829. All right. So we had our guest on, James Edwards. Kurt and Sam returned from the beautiful state of Hawaii. Quick comment on that. We got to eat lunch with Michael Rivero, fellow talk show host, and his wife, Claire. A tremendous event. We enjoyed the heck out of that. And, you know, Michael, by the way, has been well-known in the talk radio genre, I think since 2007, something like that, six. He runs the whatreallyhappened.com website, tremendous site. He's bounced around a little bit between several networks, Republic and GCN and Liberty News Radio and stuff like that. We're all good friends with Michael. He does a tremendous broadcast. Well, anyway, Michael is switching back to Republic Broadcasting. And he'll be starting, I think, this Monday. And he'll be taking the, I'm just trying to think of the time zones, 2 to 5 slot Mountain or 3 to 6 slot Central every afternoon. And he's going to be syndicated by Republic Broadcasting. And we think so much of Michael and we think so much of Republic Broadcasting that we're going to take the show on Liberty as well. So a big shout out to Michael and his family and his wife. And a shout out to a fellow talk show host. And there you go. We also talked about the truth on World War II. That sadly, we went to the Pearl Harbor and not a single shred of the truth was told about the foreknowledge that the American government had, about the involvement of the American government. Anyway, that's all left out of the history. I found that very sad. That, you know what, 70-plus years later, we still don't have a handle on that. You got to really understand and dig and historically deal with it. I brought this up to a guy yesterday, and he goes, man, I wrote a paper on that in college. And it was called, Did You Know? And anyway, and then he said, I got an A on it. The professor came back and said, no, I didn't know. But the sources were documented so well that the professor gave him an A. Anyway, that was an interesting little sidebar. Nevertheless, we need to tell the truth, Americans. We need to start there. And that's a critical component, especially when you go to Hawaii, that you got to think through. I had also mentioned yesterday that my dad was in Pearl Harbor. Well, I should say he was in Hawaii when Pearl Harbor was bombed. All right. We also talked about Ted Cruz and John Kasich, Kurt, teaming up. They're collaborating, unified, to stop Donald Trump. So went the news yesterday. Today they say that, quote, collaboration's already fraying and promises are not kept. And their uniting is falling apart. Just an update on that. We also talked about the Target's statement on transgender bathrooms. Target, quote, plus Marriage Equality Act. Target signs on in support of the Equality Act. They say they're moving away from gender-based signs. I mentioned it to you how politically manipulated this is. All they have to have is small family bathrooms and ignore the sexual manipulation discussions. There's no such thing as a transgender. There's no such thing as denying what your physical body is and pretending your sex is assignable by your mind. It's a lie. It's a satanic lie, and we need to reject it. Well, anyway, Target goes for it. The American Family Association put together a petition at AFA.net, and Sam Bushman already signed the petition to boycott Target. You going to get that done, Kurt? You going to boycott Target with us? Go ahead and sign at AFA.net. Check it out and get involved today. They got over 500,000 signatures, ladies and gentlemen. I tried to call somebody from the AFA to get with me so we could have them on the radio with us, but I haven't got a call back yet. But tremendous work there. A lot of people are saying it's not good to boycott. There's better answers. But this battle is heating up, ladies and gentlemen. This is serious business. And one of the things that we always claim on the radio is put your money where your mouth is. Vote for and against the things that you believe in with your wallet, would you please? Second hour, we had on our guest Pete Sapp, National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org. And we talked about Charles Koch, or Koch, I should say. And Charles Koch says Republicans should focus on issues like Reagan did. Then he goes on to down Trump and all the other candidates on the Republican ticket, which I agree with him again. But then he says Hillary might be a better candidate. He's off his rocker. Hillary loses all credibility, ladies and gentlemen, because she proposed a $1 trillion tax increase. We talked with Pete Sepp about the hidden cost of paying taxes. We also talked about sign the NTU, or National Taxpayers Petition, at NTU.org. We need tax reform now, says NTU. It's not 1986 anymore. Taxpayers are overdue for serious tax reform. The last time we really talked about serious tax reform, or got anything done on it, if you will, was 1986. Wow. For all that talk from the Republican revolutions, I don't see a whole lot of change, do you? And then Sam and Pete finished the hour by talking about solutions, as we always do. And we proposed some ideas that might do some good, but of course, I can't even get Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Donald Trump, any of those people to consider the discussions. So I guess they're DOA, dead on arrival, due to the lack of interest from the American people and the leading candidates. So there you have it. Nevertheless, we stand for solutions and do so on a daily basis at LibertyRoundtable.com. That's a recap of yesterday's show, Kurt. And you were mentioning that you were listening and I gave you the day off. I know you had landed a couple of minutes before the show and I knew you were getting luggage and getting your wife home and safe and sound. And I figured you probably didn't get any sleep, as I didn't the night before. I was up for like 40 hours or something crazy. Long, complicated reasons why I had a bunch of responsibilities right when I got home that denied me sleep even longer. Nevertheless, I figured you might want to go home, get caught up, get some rest, get squared away, and get everything back together. So anyway, we appreciate you listening, and I just felt like, hey, James and Pete were squared away to fill in, and there you go. So there's kind of an update on that. Anything to add before we move to the news today, Kurt?
I really don't think there's much, maybe just a footnote on the whole Hawaii thing.
Yes, sir.
We certainly would recommend that kind of thing, especially as a husband and wife, relationship builder kind of thing. But ladies and gentlemen, don't feel like simply because we're talking about it that, hey, you have to do it or your life isn't going to be complete or something like that. You could have a good life. Enjoying it out in the country on the, maybe you're even off the grid and you're just living in a tent. So don't worry about that.
But, yeah, and it's something that we could have never done without the kindness of those who made it possible financially as well, by the way. Just let's make that clear.
That's right.
We don't have plenty of bucks, guys, just because we went to Hawaii. That doesn't mean we don't need your donations at LibertyRoundtable.com or LibertyNewsRadio.com. When we get back, bogus degree scandal. Countless victims. We'll tell you about it on your radio.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. Joseph Serna is a retired Special Forces soldier who has been diagnosed with severe post-traumatic stress disorder following 4 exceptionally violent combat deployments to Iraq. Like many veterans with a similar background, Serna has struggled with alcoholism and has experienced dozens of run-ins with the police. Serna has appeared 25 times before Cumberland, North Carolina Judge Lou Oliveira, most recently for violating probation by not reporting a failed urine test. Judge Oliveira, who presides over a special county veterans treatment court, sentenced Serna to a day in jail and then joined him in the cell to give him support. Like Serna, Oliveira is an Iraq combat veteran, having served in the first Gulf War in 1991. James Ward was intoxicated and apparently suicidal when he opened fire in his Bel Air, Maryland home on April 21st. Police arrived in response to a 911 call and locked down the neighborhood,
then spent 2 hours negotiating with Ward by phone. When a SWAT team arrived, Ward fired 3 shots at the tactical vehicle before being wounded himself. Ward was charged with multiple felonies, but still has his job. He is a 19-year veteran of the Baltimore County Police Department. Baltimore County Police Chief Jim Johnson described himself as shocked and saddened by Ward's actions and expressed the hope that Ward receives the medical help he apparently needs so desperately. John Vibes of the Free Thought Project observes that the approach used in this barricaded shooter scenario differs dramatically from many police encounters in which the suspect is not a member of the Brotherhood in Blue. Quote, although Ward was shot and injured, he was taken in alive by police, a luxury that most suspects in standoffs do not have. An average person just needs to run away to get killed, but cops are usually treated with more care, even if they are acting out violently. The law has changed, and I have a right to be here, insisted an adult male who twice stripped in front of a girls' swim team at Evans Pool in Seattle. The man left at the bidding of a member of the pool's desk staff. Officials who investigated the incident say that the man never made an effort to present himself as a woman, but under the relevant ordinance, it's not clear that this is necessary. Seattle Parks Department spokesman David Takami pointed out that, quote, we have guidelines that allow transgender individuals to use restrooms and locker rooms consistent with their gender identity, which, according to current theory and Obama administration policy, is distinct from biological sex. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For libertynewsdaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
And Liberty Roundtable is also brought to you in part by GiveMeLibertyFund.com. When you want a win-win-win situation for patriots, learn more about it, GiveMeLibertyFund.com. All right, so we got a story that came out while we were gone on the break there, Kurt, in Hawaii. The story is just shocking. And it was released by Liberty News Daily. Research on the story was done by multiple people. I was part of the research team on this to find out the facts and the details here. It's a sad tale to tell. But the honesty in us requires the telling of it, Kurt, is the problem. And I know some people are thinking, man, why, you know what? Why would you tell the story? You're kind of selling out your friends. I don't think so. Again, I've always told you it's not about people, ladies and gentlemen. It's about principle. Okay? The issue is honesty. All right, so Kurt's got the details. The headline says, bogus degree scandal snares countless victims. LibertyNewsDaily.com. Kurt?
Well, yeah, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you go there to LibertyNewsDaily.com, and I just barely did this after Sam told me after the that we were going to talk about this during the break, basically the full time, I was going back through all the stories that you can find on there, and I had a hard time not stopping and looking at them simply because, man, there's so much there, so much interesting news that, you just won't get that kind of twist when you try to go to your normal, say, conservative sites like Fox News or whatever, and you're going to find a lot of, well-documented stories that are, really well done, if I may say so myself. But anyway, on this story, bogus degree scandal snares countless victims. Now, when I see the term bogus degree, I pretty much think of almost all degrees given by most universities, simply because of how much money they cost these days. People are left typically in so much debt and many times unable to use the quote degree they really got. But in this case, we're talking about the headline talks about this bogus degree scandal. And so, there's got to be some victims here. And it goes, a gifted but unscrupulous man from Pakistan updated the age-old diploma mill racket, and he made millions in the process. He snared countless victims who have fake degrees and fictitious diplomas. I need one of those, by the way, you know. Among them was noted radio personality Richard Allen Miller, also known as Doc Ram, whose signature credential is a doctorate from Belford University, which, by the way, they say was actually a scam operated out of Pakistan. Guy's name was Salem Qureshi. He's a 30-year-old that lives in an apartment there in Karachi. And then what he did, according to a U.S. federal court, was he created a sophisticated internet rip-off scheme preying upon adults that are seeking GEDs or wanting to complete unfinished college degrees. I guess the guy had, they say, an inkjet printer, a Microsoft Word template, and a few cheap websites. Through all this, he became an overnight millionaire. And I guess he would just sell these useless degrees online to, well, you know, kind of, what's the word, Sam? Assuage.
Yeah,
concerns of potential victims. The con artist created an official-looking certificate of accreditation from the International Accreditation Agency for Online Universities. They say, by the way, that doesn't exist. His fortune proved to be fleeting. That's the Qureshi guy from Pakistan. In August of 2012, the scam was shut down, and the guy was ordered to pay $22.7 million in damages in a class action lawsuit that involved 30,500 plaintiffs. George Golan, the guy's a professor of physics at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, became intrigued by Qureshi's supposed university and applied online for a political science degree, which he received based on my life experiences involving watching television, according to Golan. I wanted to see how far it would go and ultimately got offered a doctorate in thoracic surgery at Belford University based off my life experiences. I guess they say many states, including Oregon, Michigan, Maine, North Dakota, New Jersey, Washington, Nevada, Illinois, Indiana, and Texas, have restricted or made illegal the use of credentials from unaccredited schools.
Now, here's the problem with this story, Kurt. You know, Richard Allen Miller has been considered a friend. And Richard Allen Miller appears on talk shows all over the country. His nickname is Doc Ram, or Richard Allen Miller. And he goes by Doctor, and he's basically got a lot of books to his credit that he's written. And he's pitching himself as Doctor all over the internet. Now, the problem is he's not a doctor. It's a fake degree from Belford University. Now, here's the problem. A lot of people would say, Sam, why don't you shut up on that? He's a friend. He's like, you know, kin. You know, people have had him on the radio forever and stuff. It's a credibility crisis to bring this out. And my response is quite the contrary. It's a credibility crisis to not bring this out. Remember how we always tell you that it's not about people, it's about principles? Remember how we always tell you that the issue is honesty? Remember how we always tell you that it's not about the Republicans or the Democrats or the this or the that? If I were to be quiet on this story, I'd be guilty of what I complain of, folks. I'd be guilty of the who, what, when, where, why of a story being ignored. The fact is, I believe Richard Allen Miller's a victim and he got snookered. Just like a lot of people did. And I believe it's a sad tale. But I also believe, though, I tried to get a hold of Richard Allen Miller about this and not a single return to my calls. I also talked to several of his friends who I believe would wanted to come clean on the story as well. Not a word. They don't want to do it. I don't know why. It's not that I want to attack Richard Allen Miller. To the contrary, I want to defend him to some degree, but he won't let me. You know what? If he was a victim to this story, why not come forth and say I was a victim to this? You know what? I have legitimate credentials in this field. You know what? I have gone to college, and, you know, I have done notable things in my field. And therefore, this degree was a promise of a doctorate based on work experience. And therefore, I thought it was legitimate. I've been snookered. It's not. However, I still point to my resume on this given field of expertise. And I'm not going to back away from the fact that I've been snookered and become a victim. But I maintain that I have credentials in this field, nevertheless. I think Richard Miller could make a case like that very, very successfully. And my goal is not to down or out Richard Allen Miller, but my goal is I can't run around and in good faith know that he's not a doctor and let him say and others say that he is. Now, I'll be the first to point a finger at the education establishment in the United States and around the world is significantly at fault. When they want literally hundreds of thousands of dollars for doctorates. How do people come up with the money for those? I get that the education you gain in an establishment provided by your government, usually subsidized, doesn't provide you education for the real world, and work experience is 10 times, in my humble opinion, more valuable. I agree with Richard Allen Miller on that for sure. And I agree when they run around and bestow honorary doctorate degrees on all kinds of people. Pardon the pun, this is not meant to be a swear word, but it bastardizes the term doctor or master's degree, because it becomes illegitimate. This is not a swear word, people. I'm just saying that, you know, when Shaquille O'Neal has an honorary doctorate degree, hey, no offense to Shaquille O'Neal, but the guy just grew up in the hood. He doesn't have any credentials per se that would give him an honorary doctorate, but yet he can go by Dr. Shaquille O'Neal. So can Bill Cosby, right? Now, I'm not downing these guys. Their contributions to society, you know, we could debate how valuable they've been. But nevertheless, what about that? What about the guy that gets the doctorate? What about, say, a Sam Bushman, for example? Myself, I'll take as an example. I don't have a degree in anything, folks. I graduated from high school. I've taken several years of college. I changed my degree, and so none of my college credits apply in the right areas to get a degree. And so, you know what, I've got 2 or 3 or 4 years of school, depending on how you look at it, of credits, but I don't have a degree at all. So really, I'm a high school graduate with some colleges, the facts. However, I've been in the news media for 20-plus years, in the IT business for 25-plus years. Let's talk about that when we come back. Liberty Roundtable, live.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, we're talking about this story in LibertyNewsDaily.com. Bogus degree scandal snares countless victims. A gifted but unscrupulous man from Pakistan has updated the age-old diploma racket by creating fake degrees, and he's made millions. Among the victims was noted radio personality Richard Allen Miller, also known as Doc Ram. His signature credential is a doctorate degree from Belford University, but it was actually a scam operated out of Pakistan. Many states, including Oregon, that's where Richard Allen Miller lives, by the way, Michigan, Maine, North Dakota, New Jersey, Washington, Indiana, and Texas have restrictions on these fake degrees, and other states are contemplating it as well. This University Belford was absolutely shut down, and this guy, this Pakistani, was charged literally millions of dollars in fines over this. Now, I mentioned that I think that the degrees in America are illegitimate as well because they cost so much. They're credentialed by your government. You get a degree and you're supposedly a doctor, but you don't have any work experience to back it up. Richard Allen Miller has a lot of credentials in his field. He really does. He's done a lot of work. Good work, by the way. Nevertheless, he needs to come clean on this thing, and I have to because the issue is honesty. So take my example. I've got a high school diploma. I've got several years of college, but I don't have a degree in anything. I switched degrees from a psychology degree to a computer degree to not getting any degree, which is sad to say. Nevertheless, I've been in the media for 20 years and in IT for 25, and I've got notable track record. I've got a resume that's absolutely credentialed as you can get. I owned a radio station for 10 years. I ran it as the owner, basically the chief engineer, the program director, whatever you want to call me. I was heavily involved in all aspects of it. We learned radio by hard knocks. We then sold that radio station, and I developed Liberty News Radio, a nationally syndicated radio network with AM, FM affiliates across the country, a well-known news presence on the internet. So I got a radio network to my credit. I've been an engineer and a consultant building radio networks all over the country. I've developed software that's used by over 300 radio stations. Okay, my credentials are impeccable in the media, beyond debate. I was one of the top 250 talkers in the nation for 2010. I've been around the block and done just about all there is to do in radio. Now, I'm not touting myself as important. My point is this. It would be very easy if I saw this Belford University or something like that for me to say, golly, you know what? I'll get a doctorate from work experience. Here's the list of what I've done. I guarantee I'd end up with a doctorate. Is it fraudulent for me to do that when Shaquille O'Neal has an honorary doctorate? Or would I say, you know what? The government education system is bogus. I'm certainly credentialed enough. So I don't think Richard Allen Miller intended any harm here. I do believe he got scammed. The problem is he's a friend of ours, and most people would say, well, don't come clean with this, Sam. Just let it go. The problem is the issue is honesty. If we let it go, we're no better than the other mainstream press, are we? Let's come clean. Let's trash the education system in the process, and let's see if we can't find a better plan. All right, Philadelphia. Who do we got? Glenn, you're on the radio, sir.
Good morning, Sam. Good morning, Kurt.
Yes, go ahead.
Well, certainly, you know, this proves that there, you know, there's more to competence than degrees, titles.
I concur.
Amazing, and curricula vitae. But
what's that mean, Pete? By the way, I know curricula means a whole.
Well, not Pete, it's Glenn. He's just saying there's more value than a certificate from your government.
A curricula vitae is something that important people, managers, it's more expansive and extensive than a resume. It's a more verbose personal history highlighting all of your achievements and accomplishments. It's used at the executive and administrative levels and that sort of thing, and high management.
And by the way, I could write a killer one on the stuff that I've done in life, but that's a different discussion. So can Richard Allen Miller in his defense.
Well, I think Richard Allen Miller, see, fell prey to wanting the title. And, you know, if I'm not mistaken, I believe Bill Gates is a college dropout, if I'm not mistaken. But
there's truth to that. Steve Jobs, I think, might have been too, right?
Yeah, right. So it just proves the America has the rich history of successful entrepreneurs who didn't come up through this educational system. There were people, when I went to school and started graduate school, you know, a lot of people would say that a PhD stood for a post hole digger or piled higher and deeper. You know, it actually stands for doctor of philosophy. Philosophy means love of wisdom. And so you have this whole idea of pursuing the doctorate. There's the institution from which you might get such a degree, but then there's also the agency that accredits the institution you attend. And Harvard is not an accredited university because they don't care about the accreditation because they existed long before the accrediting agency.
Well, and this brings up the whole point that I'm saying, you know what, a lot of these people are victims, but the government pretends they're the arbitrator of all degrees and all wisdom and all certificates of expertise. And I reject that whole notion and defend Richard Allen Miller in that sense. At the same time, though, we cannot know this fact and allow it to stand without it being discussed and openly dealt with and admitted to on our side. Thus, the headline, Bogus Degree Scandals Snare Countless Victims. I think that says it all, doesn't it?
Yeah, that plus, well, this fixation on the term doctor. And by the way, honorary doctorates are not, they're just that, honorary. They're not meant to be used as titles in your normal daily commerce or public presentations. That's why get annoyed with a preacher like Jack Van Impe who calls him, they call him doctor. He's got an honorary doctorate only and should not be using that honorary title, you know, to try and, you know, impress people. That's not the purpose of it. It's just that the honorary doctorate is an acknowledgement of someone's achievements by formal academia. That's all it is.
Right.
So when people use an honorary doctorate and try to use it as a title, it should be illegal, but I mean, it's certainly poor form and wouldn't be recognized by the institutions that confer those honorary doctorates.
I understand. So that's the debate. Yeah. I don't mean to throw anybody under the bus. I know a lot of friends are thinking, Sam, you coming out with this is throwing Richard Allen Miller under the bus. I don't think so. I'm defending him. I'm destroying the idea of education in the first place. Look, I've got 25 years of media and IT experience, and the things that I've done in the field are beyond debate. That does not mean I'm Dr. Sam or Dr. Bushman or whatever.
Well, certainly, you know, experienced and successful business entrepreneurs. My father, my grandfather had an eighth grade education and owned his own business. You know, so basically he did, you know, very well for himself. There's a lot more life than these, you know, degrees and that sort of thing. And actually, supposedly lesser titles, as an RN, there are times in which I'd much rather hear from a pharmacist who's got more knowledge of the pharmacology than the doctor who wrote the script. Okay, sometimes if I have a question about a med, I call the pharmacist.
Well, you're wise to do so, and you get it, and that's the whole point of this discussion. Do you believe we're right to report this story, or do you think we're making a mistake here?
No, I think it's fine to report it. I, as you say, I think if I were he, I'd want to clear the air about this.
Exactly the point.
And I think he got suckered probably by his own desire for the title. This is we're living in an age where, you know, people, you know, I hear a story about a manager at a drugstore who's got a pile of applications full of people with bachelor's and master's degrees. You know, you have PhDs working at fast food restaurants and stuff like that. The economy runs on competence and ability and true applicable knowledge. So, you know, I'm not, you know, and how many blue-collar people out there, electricians, plumbers, you know, have much better incomes and job security than people with a degree in...
You're right about that. And I don't know. I don't want to question his heart and say he was just enamored with the title. He might have just thought in his mind, look, I've got all this work experience. I've got all these different things I've done to my name. There should be a way to solidify that and codify that in terms of what I do and who I am. And, you know, I don't see anything wrong with that idea either. And that's kind of the problem that I'm having with all this. Is
we have here in, well, okay, I remember years ago, we have a college here in New Jersey that Thomas, I think it's Thomas Alva Edison. I think it's Edison College, was one of the first, you know, colleges regionally that would confer life experience credit on people. You know, when the housewife goes back to school, when someone who's been working several different jobs went to the school, they'd evaluate their life experience and confer a certain amount of credit based on their life experience. But you still have to finish the bulk of the academic curriculum, you know, to get your degree, but it gives you a jump start.
Yeah, but I'm gonna defend this, yeah, though, and says who? Your government? They're the ones that decide all this?
No. This was the college. You know,
I understand, but the college gets their dictates from the government and from the accrediting agencies, all ran by your government.
And that brings up an interesting question as to how much involvement the government has versus the accrediting agencies. Even healthcare institutions and businesses have accreditation through ISO, the International Standards Organization.
Yeah, but that's all devised by government, right?
Right. Well, no. I mean, these are...
Well, it's kind of an NGO, but if you get international something to create cooperation...
It's going to be interface. That's what I'm saying. This interface between NGOs and medical facilities accredited by JCO, the Joint Commission on, in healthcare organizations.
No, I understand. But if you back into this hard enough in healthcare and everywhere else, you'll find that it's all ran by some government standard and mandates. Even if I pay my healthcare provider by hand with no insurance of any kind, they have all kinds of government hoops to jump through.
Yeah, we're all looking for competence. We should look for competence over titles.
Amen to that for sure. And I'm treating Alan Miller right now a little bit as a victim in this, but I think you should clear the air, as you wisely point out. When we come back next hour, I want to talk more about education, more about solutions and ideas, because I think that's really where the buck stops, you know? All right, quick pause, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. Hour one of the can, two coming up. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsDaily.com. This nation shall endure.